There it is. That should be the 10-run rule after six innings, and St. Louis Merrimack on the RBI single by Chad Thorpe sends Dixie home. That's it, as the final score is 14-4. So in that inning, Dixie gets racked around on three base hits. The run scores, and it's a 14-4 final, and Dixie is out of the tournament, and St. Louis Merrimack goes on. Let's take this timeout. We'll be back and talk with Coach Gordon Jolly, hopefully, after this timeout.
Traditions are important. The tradition at Dixie College, the tradition of St. George, the tradition of good people all make our community what it is today. At MacArthur Jewelers in St. George, we have the tradition of 45 years in business, the tradition of service to our customer, the tradition of good product at a fair market price. Over the years, we've grown into two stores, our downtown store, where we've always been in business, and the new mall store to better serve all our customers. Remember our name. Remember MacArthur Jewelers, a tradition in St. George.
Don't chance it when it comes to financing your home.
Fourteen to four, the final, and St. Louis Merrimack proves apparently that they are indeed the number one team when it comes to head-to-head battles with Dixie. Dixie twice with the red uniforms, not being able to come up with a victory. And it'll be brought short, only the second game in this tournament that was cut short by way of the 10-run rule. And this one, 14-4, St. Louis Merrimack, as they hit the ball all over the park after Dixie had the 3-0 lead initially. On back-to-back RBI doubles by Brad Parker and K.L. Shepard, then Wyatt Clower drove in a run on the ground ball to make it 3-0. But a two-run home run by Mark Peer, the only hit in the bottom of the first, made it 3-2. Skeeter Ellison led off the second with a home run. Mike LeFevre came back with a one-out home run in the bottom of the second. It was scoreless for both in the third. Dixie went 1-2-3 meekly against Jim Goforth in the fourth. And then it was the fatal fourth inning, bottom of the fourth by St. Louis Merrimack, as Tim May began with a single after a ground ball by LeFevre back to the pitcher. Chad Thorpe tripled in Tim May. Mike Brown doubled in Chad Thorpe. Steve Stawaczynski then lined out to the second baseman for the second out. But Mark Peer singled in a run. Matt Shufa singled to put two men on base, men at the corners, and then Jason Shepper drove a three-run home run over the left field fence to give a 9-4 lead for St. Louis Merrimack. After that, Aaron MacArthur came in and didn't have much more success than Mason Fox, as MacArthur ended up after getting the did get the final out of the fourth inning, but with one man out in the bottom of the fifth, got Mike LeFevre on a strike three, but the wild pitch went back to the backstop and LeFevre reached. Then Chad Thorpe doubled to put men at second and third. Mike Brown singled in a run. Stawaczynski was hit by a pitch to load the bases, and then Mark Peer cleared the bases with a three-run double, bases-loaded double, to make it 13-4. MacArthur got the next two outs. But then in the sixth inning, after one man out, Tim May singled, went to second on the error in left field, the only error of the ball game by either side. And then Mike LeFevre singled to put men at first and third. And Chad Thorpe drove a hard single to center field to drive the run home and get the 14-4 win for St. Louis Merrimack. So Dixie comes away from the JUCO just like they did in 1989 with a 1-2 record. But still, for what it's worth, they match College of Southern Utah, who had two victories in their only appearance. So Dixie, half of the Utah Collegiate four victories in the JUCO tournament. And Dixie College, the only team to make two appearances in the JUCO. A very young team, as opposed to the 1989 team that really had only one freshman starting in the starting nine. That was Reed Sechrist. This time, only four sophomores on the team. Scott Sudbury, Brad Thorne, the only two back from last year, Cale Shepard, the transfer from Utah Valley, and Brad Parker, the transfer from the University of Utah. So the final totals for St. Louis Merrimack, 14 runs, and they weren't cheapies, 15 hits, and no errors. St. Louis Merrimack stranded a total of 5. For Dixie, the key may have been the second inning when Dixie had the bases loaded again and only got one run home. That was the leadoff home run, and then couldn't score after that, the last time Dixie scored. So Dixie, 4 runs, 7 hits, an error, and Dixie stranded a total of 7 men on base. Another key that called third strike on Scott Sudbury, saying that he went around on that third strike on that 3-2 pitch instead of holding up when Sudbury thought he had the walk. And that was a key when Dixie had a chance to come back in the top of the sixth inning. So a lot of key times, but it turns out to be a very disappointing way for Dixie to leave the tournament 14-4 in a six-inning called short because of 10-run rule game. Let's take this time out. We'll be back, hopefully, with a visit with Coach Gordon Jolly and look ahead to what Dixie may have coming back for next year and more, what's going to happen in this tournament. Final score again, 14-4. St. Louis Merrimack wins. Back after this timeout.
The Locker Room's first annual truckload sale is on now. Go in and pre-order from a large selection of family recreation equipment. Swing sets to monkey bars, bike racks to tetherball sets, permanent and portable basketball standards, and 6-foot soccer goals, all at sale prices. With summer just around the corner, the Locker Room also has huge savings on trampolines of all sizes. So stop by the Locker Room for all of your sports needs. The Locker Room, 514 North Bluff in St. George.
Spring Fresh Water Systems at 435 North Bluff Street in St. George says good luck to the Dixie College Rebels baseball team. At Spring Fresh, water is processed daily and delivered to your home or office in 3 or 5 gallon bottles. We also have the Kinetico Water Processing System available for your own personal use. Call Spring Fresh today, 673-1716. Spring Fresh Water. A lot of people think St. George has it all. And there's no exception when it comes to America's number one chocolate. Stop in and visit Rocky Mountain Chocolate Factory at the Zion Factory stores. And if you buy one chocolate-dipped banana, you receive a second one at half price. And be sure to check out all of the other goodies at your number one place for chocolate, Rocky Mountain Chocolate Factory in the Zion Factory Outlet Mall. At Schumacher Discount Carpet, we have over 15,000 yards of carpet in stock. We are Southern Utah's largest stocking dealer, but carpet is not all we have. We also carry vinyl and wood flooring for residential or commercial uses at the lowest prices around. For fast, friendly service, call Schumacher Discount Carpet, 628-0534. Or come and see us at 735 Industrial Road, Schumacher Discount Carpet.
On the day when Troy Tuttle was supposed to enter the Missionary Training Center, that's been delayed in order for him to play in the JUCO, Dixie goes out in kind of a disappointing way, surely, for the Dixie College team, as they are disappointed as they leave. The Dixie eliminated from the JUCO. It's down to the Final Four, and St. Louis Merrimack is one of those Final Four. This is how it goes now. St. Louis Merrimack will play tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock against the loser of the game between Odessa and Indian River tonight. So Odessa and Indian River will meet tonight at 7:30, Battle of the Undefeated, and whoever loses that one will face St. Louis Merrimack tomorrow at 3. And the winner of that ball game will meet Middle Georgia tomorrow night at 7:30. So Dixie College, who became a little bit of a fan favorite here, is going to go meekly away. And as I look at some of the team, Brad Thorne, who caught every inning in postseason play, worked hard as a catcher, and apparently is headed to Southern Utah University next year. Brad, yes, indeed. Coach Gordon Jolly has joined us. Brad Thorne wrapping up his equipment right now. And let's let Gordon get his headset on. Let's take this break. Final score 14-4 while Gordon Jolly catches his breath. We'll be back with the coach after this timeout.
Rebel Sports has Southern Utah's largest selection of name brand sportswear and equipment. Rebel Sports now has 20% off all men's, women's, and boys' Reeboks. Lightning TRX inline skates, only $149.99. Roller Derby BX 5000s, $184.99. Men's and women's Sierra sandals, just $16.99. And Converse One Stars are $32.99. All these great savings and more at Rebel Sports, 436 West St. George Boulevard.
Hey, why are you running all over Gibson Carpet Gallery showroom?
I'm checking on the savings on Mohawk Brand Excellence. They're wall to wall.
You said it. All our Mohawk carpets are priced right. They feature DuPont Stainmaster with spill block, and Mohawk's Right Choice Guide makes selecting yours easy.
Save on them all from wall to wall. Get big savings on Mohawk carpet and on your other flooring needs at Gibson's Carpet Gallery.
Back at Sam Saplesio Park, it used to be Lincoln Park, and then became Ralph Stocker Field, and now it's Saplesio Field here, site of the JUCO, and Coach Gordon Jolly obviously disappointed. There's no way you couldn't be disappointed on leaving. Whoops, let's see, hold everything. I'll get, there we go. I knew you were there.
A little bit disappointing, Larry. It's frustrating. You just don't know what to do. Can't get anybody out, and they're hitting the ball really well, and kind of frustrating. We get guys on base and don't come through with a hit, clutch hit. The left-hander really stopped us offensively. And defensively, we were better today, except in the main spot, and that's at pitcher.
As you look at that, one of the keys was that second inning. A great battle between K.L. Shepard and the left-hander just as he steps on there, but then he still got the pitcher won that one.
Yeah, pitcher won that one, and that happens sometimes. We don't see as many left-handers, so that's an excuse, but we just don't see that many, and this kid had pretty good stuff and was around the zone, and our kids didn't adjust, but the main emphasis was those two innings. I mean, the fourth and the fifth inning, that was 6 and 4 runs. It's just kind of tough, it takes everything out of you, even on the offensive end.
The defense was there today, as you mentioned, except for the pitcher. Defense hung in, made some great plays for you today.
Yeah, I think we're relaxed a little bit in the field. We just didn't get the mound performance that we were counting on.
Mason started off like he was going to do well for you.
I don't know. He walked two and gave up a home run in the first inning. As far as a start off, to me that was a pretty good indication. And if we would have had, if it would have been a different situation, we could have went to somebody else earlier. But it wasn't. It was that type of situation, and so we had to remain with Mason, even though he didn't have his real good stuff. So, that just happens sometimes, and that's one of the differences between good teams and not so good teams.
This time, coming over to the JUCO, some pretty good ball clubs over here, and a lot of people are saying this was a better JUCO matchup this year than last year's 10 teams over here.
I don't know. It's a good experience for the kids to see what it's like and see what baseball, all the enthusiasm. It's definitely a plus for us to come over, even though we went 1-2 over here. It was a great opportunity for the kids, for me. And it's a good opportunity for me to see what the competition's like, where we're struggling, and how we can compete, what positions I have to upgrade in order to be at a top-grade scale like is over here. And that's one of the things that, you just in the back of your mind, you look and compare your team with the teams over here and where you have to scale up. And so it's an interesting process, and I learn all the time, so...
The pitching is better this time than you had last time when you came over, but do you still need more to compete here?
Yeah, I think you do need more, but it's just a situation where you try to do your best, and if you put all your money into the pitchers, there's only one pitcher that throws a game, and you play about 4 games a week, and hopefully, you can get the 4 or 5 or 6 pitchers you need, and when you have one that's cold or whatever, not doing the job, it just makes for a situation where if you, if you know, if they're closer together. But if they go down the scale, and you know, then it makes it difficult.
This turned out to be a much better hitting ball club than you expected this year.
Yeah, a lot better hitting club. We really can't, you know, I was happy with our offensive performance. Really not today, but for the overall season, this team just stepped it up and got better and better as the year went on.
And at times, this was one of your better defensive teams.
Yeah, I think so. We had lapses, and I think that was more stage fright and youth more than anything else. But yeah, overall, I was happy with our defense and our hitting, and basically our pitching is just, you know, we stepped it up a level, came to the World Series, and we didn't do as well as we would hope.
One other thing, when he went to the Tri-Regional, a lot of people thought, well, it's a lock on Region 1 coming in all of the time. Between you and Trinidad State, you've proved that that is not the case.
Not the case. Arizona will host the Tri-Regional next year, and they'll probably be a little more wary of the other teams. But it's a good situation, and it helps us, being from Region 18, it helps us step up our level. In order to get the World Series, we have to play a team like Arizona, and maybe that's the way it should be. You know, you want to be fair even though it hurts you. Maybe that's the way it should be, that you need to step it up a level and beat a good team or two good teams, because Trinidad in the past has been excellent too, in order to get here. And if you don't have to year in and year out have an excellent ball club and beat those type of clubs, you know, then probably something's wrong, because there's some outstanding junior college baseball teams in the nation.
Yesterday you proved you could compete with these kids over at the JUCO, but somebody has to lose on these.
Well, yeah, I guess so. That's a good way to look at it, but it's when you're a competitor, when you want to win, it's always tough. No matter when you get 10 run like we did today, it's difficult, and it's just too bad to end on a sour note, because we did have an excellent year, and for the kids to get 10 run or not look as sharp as they have, even though defensively we played a little better, it's just kind of a shame.
Well, it's like you lose four sophomores right off the bat, including Buggy Sudbury, who's been a two-year starter for you.
Mm-hmm.
You lose at least two to missions, maybe more, before it's all over.
Yeah, you can mark this down. Out of this, all these freshmen that will probably, well, you know, could come back, I would bet there's only three or four from next year's team on that played this year. And I'm really, you know, I don't know who they'll be or whatever, but it usually just works out, you know, things. We'll be extremely young again next year. And, you know, that's just the way it goes in Utah. You know, when you have kids that go on missions, which is great, but it really hurts as far as getting things going from a freshman to a sophomore. And then when they come back, sometimes they play, sometimes they don't. Just priorities change. And, you know, that's just life in the state of Utah.
You do have a couple of kids out there that may be coming back for you. One is your own son.
Yeah, Max will be back in September, but I don't know, you know, there again, priorities change, and he's indicated that he probably won't even play. So, you know, that's just the situation, that things change, and baseball's a game, and life goes on.
Kurt Palmer, I know, I've heard feedback from his family that he's anxious to come back and pitch for Dixon.
Yeah, I'm excited to see Kurt and hope he can help us next year.
Now, recruiting-wise, you have to hit the trail again. It's even though you've lost a few weeks because of the JUCO, it's nice to say, hey, I couldn't recruit you because I've been at the JUCO.
Yeah, and with our new facility with Bruce Hurst Field and with the year we had, it should help a little bit. We just hope that, you know, there's still some pretty good kids out there, which there are, and that Utah changed coaches and philosophy has changed up there a little bit. They've already signed, I think, about four Utah kids, where normally the Utah coach wouldn't take those kids, so that'll hinder our recruiting effort a little bit. But overall, you know, with the exposure we've gotten here, plus with the new facility, I think it'll help in our recruiting.
One freshman you're likely to lose to the pros is Jeff Carr.
Yeah, the draft's tomorrow. I don't know how that's going to go, or I'm not sure what's going to happen with the Atlanta Braves, who knows? Maybe we'll have Jeff back. I don't know, but we'll have to wait and see.
If Jeff does come back, he could be a stalwart to build upon.
Yeah, he was our number one this year, and I would think if he came back, definitely he'd be our number one next year, and I was very pleased with his performance the whole year.
Coach, as you look back on this season, What's the obviously one thing you're going to remember is this is your second JUCO team, and you finished in the final five. You're one of the five finalists here. What about this team will you remember most, will be the most fond memory that you'll have about this ball club?
I think, you know, that they did go to Grand Junction and they finished fifth. I really like Lance Lambert. His efforts, his positive influence as far as being a competitor, and the ability of Jeff Garf and Brad Parker, one of the best hitters we've ever had here, and Kel Shepard, all the way down. And, there's a lot of things I'll remember when I think of the 95 team. But I remember we were young and we still played pretty good and beat some pretty good teams. So it'll be a real positive thoughts when I do think of the 95 team. So,
and I guess there's always thoughts that you can come back here a third time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think every time you get more exposure and the coach improves and knows what you have to have and goes out and tries to get those type of kids, it's got to help the whole situation. That's what it's all about, to go as far as you can and to win hopefully have some good kids along the way that enjoy it and make it a pleasant experience for you. And that's what it's definitely been this year.
Coach, congratulations. Even though it ends on a loss for all but one team here at the JUCO, you were one of the final 10. You ended up as one of the final five in the JUCO. And all in all, a 40-21 record, not too shabby, an excellent year. Congratulations.
No, not bad at all. Thanks, Larry. I appreciate it. And I'm sure the kids would appreciate the coverage that we've gotten, the support from the St. George people all year long. And like I say, like we both said, it's been a fun year. It's been a very good year. I've got very good kids that they're a pleasure to be around. And a lot of years I can't say that, but for this year, it's I've really got a great bunch of kids, and it's been a fun year that way, not just from winning and losing, but just to be around them and get to develop some friendships that way. So, I'll remember these kids and the pleasure I've had with them.
Thank you, Coach.
Thanks, Larry.
Coach Gordon Jolly, we'll be back with more notes in postgame after this.
Sports Fanatic in the Red Cliffs Mall carries the largest selection of team-licensed apparel in southern Utah. With over 1,000 team sports hats in stock, both fitted and adjustable, you're sure to find the one you want. We have a complete line of T-shirts, shorts, jackets, and novelty items. And we specialize in attitude-type T-shirts. Mention this ad for 10% off your next purchase. Remember, the Sports Fanatic. Auto Trim Design, Southern Utah's largest truck accessories dealer, is now offering up to 50% off window tinting with the purchase of a new sunroof. Auto Trim Design, 375 North Park, 295 North Bluff.
Reflecting your style, expressing your mind, customized by Auto Trim.
So the final score, Dixie ends up with a 14-4 loss on the year to St. Louis Merrimack, and they took Dixie two straight, one Sunday night, one this afternoon. And so if it comes to head-to-head with St. Louis Merrimack, the team that did not receive the votes, the team that was considered the underdog of all underdogs, although Dixie was also considered there, and Volunteer State also fell into that underdog category, St. Louis Merrimack moves into the Final Four. Who out of the Final Four will end up as the champion? Well, St. Louis Merrimack has a little momentum now. They almost beat a team that many people, observers, after they got here, thought was going to be one of the toughest teams, and that's Indian River out of Florida. Indian River plays Odessa tonight. Odessa, the team that defeated the national champion, Galveston, to get into this JUCO tournament. And if Odessa is hot, there's no question about that. They've had two games outlasting Indian Hills 16-15 in 10 innings, and then 10 running Allegheny to give Allegheny only their third loss on the year in their second game. And Odessa, well rested, they had yesterday off, and they play Indian River tonight. So those are the two favorites. St. Louis Merrimack, the dark horse favorite now, the team that did not receive any votes in the final postseason poll, where everyone else at least received votes, and five of these JUCO teams were ranked in the top 20 at the end of the year. And then there's Middle Georgia. Middle Georgia, former national champ, in fact, winning back-to-back national championships in the history of this tournament, with a lot of pros, with a lot of major leaguers who have come out of the program. Veteran coach Robert Sapp, who was named to the Junior College Hall of Fame, Baseball Hall of Fame this year, and just by the quirk of things, named earlier in the year, the induction ceremonies at the banquet on Thursday night, last Thursday night, and lo and behold, Robert Sapp was there with his Middle Georgia team as one of the final 10 in the nation. And so there's a lot of Grand Junction folk who are pulling for Robert Sapp and his Middle Georgia squad to come away with the victory. Whether they will, whether Odessa will, whether Indian River will be the national champ, or whether St. Louis Merrimack will be the national champion remains to be seen. Mason Fox will pick up the loss as he drops on the year in postseason play to 1-2 and drops on the year to a 6-4 record, but that's still not a bad record on the year. Aaron MacArthur will not get the decision on this. Jim Goforth will pick up the win for St. Louis Merrimack. And for Goforth, he will finish the year, or I shouldn't say will finish because he still may pitch some more, will go to an 8-2 record on the year. He was no slouch. He was an excellent pitcher and did the job against Dixie today. For Dixie, one home run, that one by Skeeter Ellison. That happened to be, for Ellison, his seventh on the year, almost all of them coming in the back third to half of the season. Four of his seven home runs coming in postseason play. So Skeeter Ellison with an outstanding performance, although he only went 1-for-3 today, but he hit the ball very well and was the key hitter in the district championship. Brad Parker with an RBI double today. For Parker, he'll finish the season with a total of 19 home runs and a total of 10 doubles on the year. So Parker, an outstanding year, and will be a candidate either for the pro draft or when he gets his associate degree to move on to a four-year school. Cale Shepard, another outstanding year, had the RBI double today, and that gave him 19 in postseason play. So Cale Shepard with an outstanding postseason as he came up with 19 this year in postseason play. And on the whole, finished with a total of 64 RBIs and the number two hitter and a total of 12 home runs. So Shepard, an outstanding year also. There are many who are headed out on missions. Jeff Garf may end up in the pros. Skeeter Ellison may also get drafted as he's shown that he can swing the bat very well and a possibility there. Two who are definitely headed out on missions because they already have their call. Troy Tuttle will be in the mission home before a week is gone and headed to the Mexico City South mission. Bronson Bills headed out shortly to the Los Angeles mission, the Los Angeles, California mission. So there's those two and maybe several more who will be headed out on missions. Dixie College will try to capture lightning in the bottle again next year as they try to go back to the JUCO one more time and maybe come away with the victory. Dixie finishes among the top five this time. They finish with a 1-2 record like they did once before. But they gave people an exciting ball game yesterday in that victory as they came up with an 11-10 victory. Larry Jewell, thanking you for being with us. We appreciate you for being with us throughout this Dixie College baseball season. It's been great doing Dixie College athletics this one more season here on KSGI. And appreciate you following us through that. We still have plenty of sports coming up. Major League Baseball coming up this weekend again. We also have Little League and American Legion Championship Baseball that we'll be following through the year, and more sports coming again in the fall as football season gets underway once again. So stay tuned for all of that. It's been great. We appreciate Dick Carter and Dave Martin, who kept us on the air back at the station, our sponsors, for their support. Dixie goes to the JUCO for the second time, and that's not an easy feat. And it's a feather in the cap of the Dixie College Athletic Program. We appreciate all of those that we've worked with, and this year, the thrills that this Dixie College baseball team has given us, Coach Gordon Jolly and Assistant Coach Royden Tate, their families for their support, and for the help that they've given us throughout the year. Larry Jewell, thanking you for being with us. Our final score today on this, the last game in the JUCO for Dixie College. St. Louis Merrimack in six innings, 10 runs Dixie, final score 14-4. Till we hear from each other again. Take care now, you hear?
Oh, the luxuries of the modern world. Instant soup, instant breakfast, instant cash, and now even instant financing. Now at Big O Tires, you can get instant financing with the exclusive credit card, the Big Card. Choose from low monthly payments or 6 months same as cash. With the Big Card, instant credit means no hassle. Your application is processed while you wait. So don't wait any longer. Get your Big Card today at Big O Tires, a reputation you can ride on. Big O Tires.
Gary Bybee at Allstate Insurance wants to congratulate the Dixie College Rebels on their appearance in the Junior College World Series. Good luck, and thanks for a great season. For all your insurance needs, see Gary Bybee at 297 West Hilton Drive in St. George or call 628-8778. Allstate Insurance Company.
Phone problems got you down? Call Southern Utah's best communication service. Call Ripple Communications at 628-2439. Ripple Communications.
And good afternoon. It's time to take a look at news this afternoon on KSGIM and FM 507 News Time. A Mormon missionary from Utah has been killed in a traffic accident in Arizona. Officials say 20-year-old Joshua Von Barrett of Salt Lake City died yesterday when the car he was riding in was broadsided by a truck in Queen Creek, which is about 20 miles southeast of Mesa. Stephen Rogers, also a missionary for The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, was the driver of the vehicle in which Barrett was riding. Rogers of Edmond, Oklahoma, is listed in fair condition at an area hospital. Dennis Kenner, the driver of the other vehicle, is in fair condition. Barrett and Rogers had been working together in the Arizona Tempe mission in Mesa. Barrett was about a month short of completing his 2-year missionary stint. Brett Lingwall of St. George used his knowledge of the Grand Canal of China and the Straits of Hormuz to chart his course into the finals of the National Geography Bee. Brett Allred, Pine View Middle School, he's one of the state's champions who were to appear in today's finals. The finals were to air nationally by a public broadcasting system. A Michigan boy, 13-year-old Chris Galeska, won the contest today. Second place went to 14-year-old Aaron Wetzel of Illinois. It's not immediately known where the 14-year-old Lingwall finished. The top three will win scholarships of $25,000, $15,000, and $10,000. All finalists will take home $500 from their expense-paid trip to Washington. The son of an Escalante police chief, Kent Robinson, has been charged with manslaughter in the shooting death of his stepsister. Prosecutors say 20-year-old Clifton Kent Robinson used his father's hunting rifle to fatally shoot Sherilyn Piquette in February. A criminal complaint was filed yesterday in Sixth Circuit Court. Prosecutors say the younger Robinson picked up the high-powered rifle at his father's home and pointed it at Piquette. The defendant allegedly pulled the trigger, but the rifle didn't fire. The complaint then says the defendant worked the action of the weapon, aimed it a second time, and pulled the trigger. The rifle fired and struck the victim in the chest, causing her death. Meanwhile, Chief Kent Robinson is awaiting prosecution on 4 felony theft charges filed in March. A 12-year-old girl was hit by a train and killed Tuesday afternoon on her way home from Roy Junior High School. Deborah Cantwell was standing at the southbound tracks watching a northbound train pass by and evidently did not hear another train approach on the tracks where she stood. The state of Kennecott Copper Corporation has reached a tentative settlement of a 9-year-old lawsuit over contaminated groundwater. The company will spend $42 million to pump the otherwise control the pollution, which will sign a letter of credit promising $28 million more if a treatment plant has to be built after further study. Kennecott also will give Utah $9 million to replace the pumped water. A Utah teenager is facing a first-degree murder charge in Nebraska for the shooting death of an Iowa woman. Aquazine Sukerth of Fillmore is being held in Wyoming on a carjacking charge. Karen Logsden disappeared last week after dropping her son off at a middle school in Des Moines, Iowa. Her body was found later off Interstate 80 between Omaha and Lincoln. Investigators say she made a cellular phone call from the Omaha area to her family before she was killed. 19-year-old Sukerth is charged yesterday with first-degree murder, kidnapping, robbery, and the use of a weapon to commit a felony. Sukerth was driving the 42-year-old woman's car when he was stopped last week just west of Laramie. Well, the big sports news of the day, Dixie College has been eliminated from the JUCO World Series by a score of 14-4 in the second meeting of St. Louis Merrimack. Merrimack goes on to play in final rounds again tomorrow. Dixie packs their bags and come home. We'd like to congratulate the Rebels for a good show this year. A lot of fun and a lot of hard work and a lot of excitement in baseball action. And that's a look at what's going on in the news. I'm Dick Carter reporting.
It's out there, and you don't know how to deal with it. It's dirty. It's slimy. It's monstrous. It's used motor oil. Okay, maybe we're being a bit dramatic, but the truth is, used oil really is a beast when it's dumped into the environment. The Environmental Protection Agency says 60% of you change your own oil. Great. Unless, of course, you're among the nation's 90% who dump it improperly. Then that's not so great. You see, used oil contaminates groundwater and damages sewage systems. But the good news is, used oil is now recyclable in this area. So do your part for the environment and put used oil in its place. For the recycling center nearest you, call 1-800-458-0145. That's 1-800-458-0145.
Looking at sports around the state of Utah, the College Swimming Coaches of America has honored the Brigham Young University men's swimming team by naming the Cougar swimmers as an all-academic team for the 1994-95 school year. BYU and Air Force were the only Western Athletic Conference teams receiving this honor. The Cougar swimmers had an overall GPA of 2.94 for a winter semester and 3.03 for the entire school year. The University of Utah signed Ricks Junior College Ben Caton to a letter of intent. The 6'4", 200-pound Caton will be a junior at Utah this fall. At Ricks last season, the Colorado native averaged 23 points and 5.5 rebounds per game while committing just 1.3 free throws per outing. Rich Becker made what could be his last game of the season with the Salt Lake Buzz, a memorable one. Becker was called up last night by the parent Minnesota Twins, but not before he hit a three-run homer in the fifth inning and left Salt Lake to a 5-4 win over the Colorado Sky Sox in the Pacific Coast League. The Buzz have the day off today, but will face Edmonton Trappers in Edmonton tomorrow. Boise State women's tennis team coach Mike Edels has resigned. Edels coached the team to its only Big Sky Conference championship this season. The school say Edels and his family will be moving to Honolulu this summer, where his wife Laura has accepted a faculty position at the University of Hawaii. Stay tuned now for CBS Sports, coming your way in just a couple of seconds.
Hi, everyone. Jim Nance from Los Angeles with Sports Time on the CBS Radio Network, sponsored in part by the State Farm Insurance Company. Ex-Michigan football coach Gary Moeller made a court appearance today for his drunken behavior last month that cost him the Wolverine job. Moeller was fined $407, not given any jail time. So the issue is over. Over, that is, except for the pain that will certainly linger.
It is a lesson, because I think if we all look back through our lives, there's probably a number of us, I guess not all of us, but we would take 2 hours and sometimes erase it. And obviously, if I could do that, I would be in a much better position.
Moeller's not the only one with free time on his hands. Pete Sampras lost his first-round match today at the French Open, a five-setter to Austrian Gilbert Schaller, ranked 43rd in the world. It's the first time in 5 years Sampras lost an opening round match in a Grand Slam event.
Tough to play with a guy like Mr. Schaller. I mean, he's keeps a lot of balls in play, doesn't miss much, and to come up against him in the first round is a pretty tough match.
That opens up the men's bracket now for Andre Agassi, who sailed today into the third round without dropping a set. Meanwhile, the Magic and the Pacers move into the fifth set of their best-of-seven series tonight in Orlando.
And Magic coach Brian Hill wants fewer whistles in the direction of his man, Shaq.
It's obviously very, very frustrating when two straight games, you're only out on the floor for 30 minutes. And, you know, I have a real problem with just the consistency or lack of it right now with the fouls that he's being called for at one end and then the contact that's being permitted on him at the other end. And that's all a coach or a player asks for is consistency.
Orlando is favored tonight by 5.5. And now this.
Every 22 minutes, someone is killed in an alcohol-related accident. Statistics like these are what make State Farm such a big supporter of the Designated Driver Program. It's where someone drives who doesn't drink. Be a good neighbor. Be a designated driver. 2 out of every 5 people know someone killed or injured by a drunken driver. State Farm doesn't want you to become just another statistic.
Each week, an unusual publication arrives at the desks of a select circle of individuals in positions of influence throughout the world. It's The Economist, the international weekly of news and business. And now you can discover the value of The Economist by calling 800-293-8200 for 3 free issues. Then, to continue as a subscriber, pay just $54.50 for the next 27 issues, 30 in all. 800-293-8200. Try The Economist, 293-8200.
Afternoon ball. The Cubs beat the Braves 4-1. Colorado rocks St. Louis 5-3. And Chris Jones with a 3-run shot in the 10th. The Mets over San Diego 7-5. American League. Milwaukee 8-1 over Minnesota, while Toronto defeated Detroit 5-3. Glenn Burke was a member of the 1978 National League champion Los Angeles Dodgers. Later, he manned the outfield for the Oakland A's. Now word out this afternoon, he passed away last night at his home at the age of 42. He died of AIDS. Jim Nance with Sports Time on the CBS Radio Network.
The home of Dixie College Rebel Sports. This is the sports and information leader in southern Utah, 1450 KSGI.
Visa Rewards presents Saturday.
Lady love, your love is peaceful like a summer's dream. My lady love, with love that's tender as a baby's touch. You give me all of the things that I need so much. You're my world, lady love. Lady love, your love is cooling like a winter snow.